Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind,
good morning. You know, the Lord doesn't have to show us He's great to be great.
Amen.
But you know, it sure helps me when He does.
That's right.
I get all excited and I get so happy when the Lord appears. So I may get foolish before I leave, but I want to tell you how thankful I am for you and all the kindness and love and the way you've made me feel. When I go back to Southern Virginia, I'll remember you and yearn to come back. You know, as I sat on the front bench facing it this way, I noticed your pastor would start to grin and grin. And what reminded me of was my mother that raised 6 children. And as we sat at the table, I had an older brother that was just always running late. He thought he knew more than all of us and still does. But Mama just couldn't be settled until all of them were set. She had a meal prepared for them. She had something special for her children. And as much as she loved the other 5, until all was seated, Mama wasn't happy. So children of God, your pastor is the same way. The Apostle Paul says, the oxen that is honorable, we should give him double honor. And the way to do that is what you're doing today. It will please your pastor. It will help his laborious, that's one in big words, Gary.
Yeah.
Y'all will figure out quick, I'm country. I try to be uptown. I was serving the church in Amelia. And when I go to Richmond, I try to talk like it, but I'm not Richmond. I'm Danville, Virginia. But it will help. It will help your pastor's journey by not only showing and saying and supporting him, but taking your seat is a wonderful thing and privilege that we have. I've enjoyed the weekend so much. I prayed this morning as I thought about the church at Old Mill, and so I pray for all the Lord's people.
Amen.
Wherever we're privileged to meet, because it is a privilege. It's a privilege to me. Sister Sharon, you're just too sweet. And Brother Gary, thank you so much. You know, I'm glad and thankful that I do have some thoughts on my mind, but I'm even more thankful when I know if the Lord takes it away to sit down. But it's good to have some thoughts. It's good to have some ideas of where the Lord would may have you to go. And this day, children of God, my thoughts are in Acts chapter 12. I hope you've got your King James Bible. And I hope that the Lord will bless us to see His wonderful, glorious face. When Jesus appeared, things are never the same. The Apostle Paul and others, and also, Jude tells us, beloved, when I came all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We know, children of God, that the salvation of the Lord is not common as we think it's common, but it's common in a way that the Lord has purposed in His heart, and He came to this earth for one reason, to save His people from their sins. So it's very easy for me to understand that the Lord has finished that eternal work, and that one day my hope is that when my life is over, that I'll be in that place of heaven in immortal glory that I can only dream of.
Amen.
But while we're here, my mind is in a prison this morning, a dark and gloomy place. So I pray that the Lord would go with us with the Apostle Peter. My favorite son, Timothy, texted me this morning. I have one favorite son, one favorite wife, and two favorite daughters. He texted me this morning and said, John 16:13. I said, well, I better turn and look at that, Brother Gary. And it kind of goes along with what I had woke up this morning with. Just stay at Acts chapter 12, children of God. I'll be there just one second, I promise. John chapter 16, verse 33 reads, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We go with the Apostle Peter here in Acts chapter 12. The church there, children of God, is just like the churches in the book of Revelation. They were real people. They had real problems. They had real mothers. They had real fathers. They had real children. They were struggling people just as we are today.
Amen.
But they were in the early centuries of the church, early years of the church, so they had much more persecution than we face today. We may have much persecution coming as the evil men in high places attempt to take our liberty. And the Lord is the only reason that we have our liberty and peace today. But that may change. So some of you young ones sitting under the sound of this old man's voice, it may come to a day that we haven't known. It may come to a day where, like my father laying in France wounded, will I ever get home? You soldiers know what I'm talking about. I can't relate to that. That day may be coming, but I want to tell you about a people and a man in Acts chapter 12 that was in a prison and what had happened before that. Acts chapter 12 starts like this. And Herod the Tetrarch stretched forth his hand. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, Peter therefore was kept in the prison. But, change of direction.
Yes.
But, all these problems, all these trials, all the great wishes of King Herod, but, prayer was made without ceasing of the church.
Right.
Unto God.
Yes.
For him.
Amen.
So we see the same scene here. About the time. About what time? About the time that the children of God, in Acts chapter 11, we see that about the time that it says, and they were called Christians first at Antioch. About the time these people left their houses, lands, their boats, left their families, and followed this man Jesus that had touched them in the inner part of their soul.
Amen.
And changed their lives. And about that time, children of God, and they witnessed a lot of all of this, the man Jesus showing his great wonders and glories to mortal men on this earth. About that time, children of God, in Acts 7, 8, and 9 there, and Stephen was stoned. A good man, Stephen, was stoned. Why would you stone a good man, religious people? That's about the time that Peter is talking about. About that time is what the Scriptures is telling us here. About what time? I want us to see the picture. The Lord gives us pictures to see the big picture. All of us know, even a little child, if we walk to the hardware store and see the skull and crossbones, we don't know the ingredients of this poison, but we know death is in that bottle. So the Lord shows us pictures of in the scriptures, literal pictures that will help our very inner man as we struggle through this earth. You young ones may say, I'm happy today. Oh yes, your head's to bat. Jesus says that Jesus says that he's like a mother hen. He lets down he's like he would gather you with his wings, so you're protected. That day may end as you walk upon this earth. So about that time, when the Apostle Paul was coming, this religious man, and says, listen, I'm coming from Jerusalem, all you Christians, and you hear well, I'm coming for you. It doesn't matter to me if you're a child. It doesn't matter to me if you're a woman or a man. I'm coming to you, and I'm not coming on my own. I've got authority. I've got papers. And if you pronounce the name of Jesus, you're going to be put in prison. That's the time I want you to see. Yeah. You know, it's so wonderful to see all of you here. Yeah. You young folks, it's so wonderful to see your faces. Amen. If I live to be 140 more years, I'd like to come back here and see you bigger if you live in this area. I want to see you grow up in the church because there's no other place like it. Because the same world that the early Christians face is the same world you'll face unless you just out of the world, and if you're a child of God, that's lost into this world. So this is a time that Peter is in. So the Lord uses pictures to show us. He doesn't have to. Revelation shows us the beast that comes out of the water. Yes, you're in the right place, old devil, because you have no foundation. Revelation shows us a risen Christ, a victorious Christ. Amen. Revelation shows us when the Lord gets up from his throne, the battle is over. The book of Revelation simply means the victorious Christ. You can take that to the bank. And he uses different pictures in Revelation to show us his glory, to show us his magnificence. He's a King and King and Lord of Lords. But he shows us pictures so we can relate to that, so we can bring it to our heart when we are in our prison in this time, world children of God. He shows us pictures. John said, oh, I saw him and heard his voice like many waters, and he's like fine brass. Oh, his hair was like white wool. He shows us some pictures of the King in glory, of the King and his Son. And he shows us there in the book of Revelation, he shows us there's one sitting on a throne. Why is he sitting on his throne? Because the redemption work for the redemption of his innumerable host of people is finished. But when the Lord gets up, he doesn't get up to gather you, me, and everybody else to fight the battle. He gets up and the battle is over before it really starts. Read Revelation. The victorious Christ, he shows us there in pictures. The Lord don't have to do that, Brother Gary, but it sure helps me when he does, because I'm just a simple-minded man. We see here that Peter is in prison, and the Lord has shown us a wonderful picture here, that when the Lord comes upon the scene, earthly things just vanish. And all you young ones, listen. I want you to read this book, this old King James Bible, and you prove me. Prove the 400 years that this book has been read out of. And believe it. Just, you don't have to understand it. I still don't understand how my wife loves me after 41 years, but I sure do believe it. I don't understand. Man cannot describe to me how the sun never distinct, why it hangs on nothing. I don't understand how gravity works, even though I can't see it. But what I'm telling you today, children of God, I want you to take it as fact. And if I misquote something or get it wrong, then your dear elder will help me. But I want you to take me just as I'm. Every word is true. The Lord didn't have to show us his glory in the days of creation. The Lord didn't have to show us this family Noah. And, you know, just backwards, what's wrong with you, Noah? It's never, what are you building? But he shows us a picture that the Lord will come for just one family. The Lord didn't have to show us Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah wondering, what am I doing here? He shows us that picture that the Lord will come for you personally.
Amen.
And He knows you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Amen. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
He shows us we're not sheep, children of God, but we're like sheep.
Right.
And from time to time, we go astray. And He shows us pictures that He'll go, He'll leave that 99, children of God, and go for that one sheep. And it does my heart so good when I can see the miracles of God unfold in the lives of people in a time world. The Lord didn't have to. He could have thought in Egypt and all the hierarchy of Pharaoh's court could have been vanished. But He shows us through these little insignificant creatures, lice, frogs, blood in the water, turn the water. He shows us, listen, I'm not like Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you think you're great. Everybody bows down to you. And all that comes, everybody fears you. But I'm the God of the universe.
Amen.
So I'll just take these little bitty creatures and let my people go.
Amen.
And by the way, children of God, I'll send this man, Moses and Aaron, and I'm going to let them see. While they're coming, children of God, Moses and Aaron, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. It's not that my people can't leave. I want Moses and Aaron to see how hard-headed this man is. And then I'll take these little creatures and you'll walk out rich in this world. That's the God of heaven. He didn't have to show us that picture. But aren't you glad that He did? Aren't you glad when these millions come out, these slaves that have known nothing but bondage for 400 years? Aren't you glad that He showed us that Red Sea? You may be children of God. You may be in your life from time to time. You may see the Red Sea of the waters in front of you. And you may see Pharaoh's chariots of destruction behind you. Aren't you glad that the Lord showed us that picture?
Amen.
Of the waters, the Lord said, stand still. Yeah. Listen, do we need saving? Yeah. Stand still. The salvation is of the Lord. Aren't you glad?
Amen. Amen.
That the Lord showed us a man called Jonah? Real. This is real, children of God. This is not a fairy tale. Aren't you glad that He showed us that picture? That when we are disobedient, that the Lord prepares a place for us and makes us obedient. And when we're spurted out, when we're spewed out, we're glad to say, oh Lord God, what would You have me to do? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad in Acts chapter 7 and 8 and 9 right there that the Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, road to Damascus, and aren't you glad that He showed us the exalted, boastful Saul? Aren't you glad that He showed us this praying Paul?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that He showed us from the Saul, which means to be presented? Aren't you glad that He showed us the praying Paul? Aren't you glad what the Lord said about the Apostle Paul, and showed us? Somebody had to just lead Him by the hand. Aren't you glad that we saw the Apostle Paul and what Ananias? You know the story, children of God. I really feel uncomfortable taking Gary's time, but Brother Gary,
as you feel led, brother.
But aren't you glad? Listen, what about Peter? He's still in prison, and we ain't forgot about him. But he won't the only one that's in prison. And there's a whole lot of prisons in this world, children of God. Aren't you glad that when the Lord said, Ananias, yes, Lord, he was just a man of God, a good man of God. Go to this man, Saul. He's a praying now, children of God. Aren't you glad that what the Lord said about King Saul, Saul of Tarsus, which is now the apostle Paul, the praying Paul, Ananias, go to him.
Yes.
Lay your hands on him.
Yes.
He needs it. Scales lifted off his eyes.
Yes.
He needs somebody to lead him. He needs somebody to be friends with him. He needs somebody to hug him. He needs somebody to say, look, Paul, you're just like we are. We haven't done everything right either. We've made mistakes also. So you go to him, Ananias, and you lay your hands on him and give him back his sight. Aren't you glad we saw that picture? Not a fairy tale. Aren't you glad that we saw Ananias says, Lord, I'm scared. It's okay to be scared. This world's a scary place. Mm-hmm. But listen to John 16:33. It tells us the Lord has overcome this world.
Yes.
Aren't you glad that we see Ananias says, listen, Lord, don't you know what he's done? Don't you know he binds up men, women, children, whosoever calls on the name of Jesus? Ain't you heard that? Yeah. Talking to God like God don't know. That's us. And I'm so glad that the Lord himself said this. I'm glad the old Baptist preacher didn't come up with it, but I'm glad we preach it. Go to him, Ananias. For he is one that's finally got his life in shape. Listen to me now. Now's not the time to listen to me.
Yeah.
Now, aren't we glad that he didn't say, you know what? I stuck my hand out and he stuck his hand out and I grabbed him and pulled him up. Now Paul's going to be all right. As long as he follows me and as long as he's got his life right. Aren't you glad that he didn't say that? Aren't you glad the wonderful words that the Lord said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. You go to him. He was chosen and didn't know he was chosen. He's my child when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he's my child now. I called him for duty and I'm going to show him what he must suffer for my name's sake. You go to him. Aren't you glad of that picture?
Amen.
That this proud a Pharisee of the Jews that had dominance over the people of God in that day. And aren't you glad of that picture? The Lord didn't have to show us these wonderful pictures. No. Aren't you glad, children of God, that he showed us that when the seas, as Brother Gary has already mentioned, listen, children of God, a lot of things when I was your age, you young ones, and I'm so glad to see you, but oh, I'm so glad to see the pillows still standing here too, Brother Gary. You pillows are in the, and listen, you pillows that I can get off my mind. It's a whole lot of stuff I can get off of my mind. I'm real happy today, so just give me a break. I'm going back to Danville in just a few hours here. So listen, and I'm also thankful for the pillows here that hold this building up, that stand year after year after year. And the Lord told the church, maybe at Thyatira in the book of Revelation, I'll make you a pillow in the house of my God. Those that come year after year and give all that they have, and they stand firmly and hold up the roof of the building, spiritually, children of God. They stand there are a comfort to you when they don't have any comfort. They give to you when they don't have to give. They stand and hold the house up, but all from time to time, children of God, they get cracked. But you know what? They keep standing because the pillows that hold up this building is only sufficient when it's got pressure on it. You take the pressure off of these columns and the wind will soon blow those pillars over. So I'm thankful for you young ones, and I'm thankful for the pillars that have walked before me all of the 60 years and the 40 years I'm in the church. I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed all of us, but I want us to be more than just a blessing to one another. I want us to learn and to rehearse in our mind over and over how great the God has been to his people, and he's not a fairy tale. And I want you young ones to remember, if you don't remember, another word that I say. This man, he was verily God, verily man. This man walked on the water. Try that. This man walked on the water. I can understand that. Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. About that time, Herod. Herod's the man. You know, we have all types of dominance over the people of God. But here we see Herod. He's the man. He's the one that would cause destruction to the Lord's people. At the end of this, King Herod, I believe the same Herod, I'm not going to even turn. You know, he come out on the podium one day and people just bowed down and said, this is not a man, this is a God.
Yeah.
Is that same one, Gary?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
He said, God smote him.
Yeah.
With what? Little worms. See that picture? God don't need man. God suffers us and is merciful to us. He don't need man. Listen, in John chapter 6, when the disciples were wondering how we're going to feed this multitude of people, the Lord had a little lad there tucked away with a little bag with fishes and bread and fed 5,000. God is all sufficient.
Amen.
And he shows us them pictures. I'm walking on the water. I've heard the tale that, you know, the same water that little ship was on, all the ships on the lake were instantly relieved. You don't know that. You're speculating.
Yeah.
It don't say that.
That's right.
The Lord could have come for that one little boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we don't know that. It don't say that. The Lord is all sufficient. The Lord in 2 Kings chapter 5 has a little maiden, a little maiden that's in captivity in the land of Syria, and she's just a little insignificant maiden. And then Naaman, when he's got his incurable leprosy, this little maiden, this little insignificant sister, shows great faith when she tells the wife of the head of the house of Naaman there, "I wish your master could meet Elisha the prophet. He would heal him of this death incurable disease." The Lord is sufficient. He don't need our greatness. The Lord, we ought to honor Him and to glory Him. But the Lord don't say, "What am I going to do with this bunch?" He's all sufficient. The Lord, and Gary, certainly we've talked about this. The Lord didn't have to have, when Samson, his great might and great strength, the Lord had a little lad tucked away there that led him by the hand when they had put his eyes out and said, "Just let me feel the pillars."
Right.
The little lad is pivotal in that story. See those stories? It's not a fairy tale.
No,
aren't you glad that He showed us that the lions weren't just hungry? Oh, Daniel, the old king, the good king, Daniel, is the God that you serve. Was He able to deliver you? Aren't you glad? The king said, "Oh, live forever." King Daniel said, "Oh, live forever." Something like that.
Yes.
Aren't you glad Daniel didn't say, "Oh, King, the lions weren't even hungry today"?
No.
He didn't say that.
No.
The God of heaven shut their mouth.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad about
Amen.
That? You see where I'm going with this? Oh, these wonderful pictures, symbols showing us the greatness of God. Aren't you glad that when Peter's in prison here, bound between soldiers, iron and chains around him, that he's something wonderful has happened. He's still resting. And the church is praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wonderful to have a church.
It is. Amen.
I'm talking about a group of people. Oh, this is just a building. Oh, I beg to differ.
No.
Oh, sure, it's just a building. And if the church met in a cave, it would be just a cave. But from time to time in your life, if you felt the Lord in this building, this is not Walmart. This is a special place. This is a refuge. This is a place out of this world. So this structure, which is a structure, becomes way more. It's a place where the Lord's people meet. Aren't you glad that the day of the Hebrew children, that the Lord was there with them? Aren't you glad that when the Hebrew children was in their most distress in their life, they were as closest to the Lord than they could ever remember? I bet you they told that tale, Gary.
Yeah.
I think about the old blind man. Who was it preached on it, Brother Turner, yesterday? I think about the old blind man. You know, he was blind from birth and he was in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's not like it is today. He didn't have vans coming picking him up, which is wonderful. He didn't have care. He didn't have money coming that would take care of him. That's wonderful. Listen, we're living in a wonderful day. But this blind man was in bad distress.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad of that picture? That the Lord... Listen, we're not going to leave Peter in prison. I promise you.
No. We gotta give him.
Aren't you glad that when Jesus didn't just happen by, He passed by and stopped?
Amen.
And give that man his sight. Can you imagine? Never been heard of before. Listen, children of God. Are you facing something in your life as nobody else has been through? Are you facing a time in your life, your family, your mother, your father, your wife, your children? You say, nobody has ever been through this. I'm telling you, you're not the first.
That's right.
There's a Jesus in heaven that's the same today as He was then.
Amen.
And with the same people multiplied, with the same kind of problems, we just have a whole lot more access to sin real quick. But aren't you glad that the Lord...
Devastating effects.
Aren't you glad that the Lord gave that man his sight and showed us that wonderful picture? That shows us real clearly that, oh, I thought, oh, you don't get up, if you're not healed, you just don't believe enough. Well, the children of God, I'll ask you this. Was a blind man healed before he believed or after he believed? He didn't know what to believe. The Lord wasn't waiting on him to believe. The Lord healed him. And the Lord will heal you. I hope you know what? I hope if when I head back home to see my wife and see my children this week, I hope, you know, if I don't get home, it's because of this one thing. The Lord has healed me perfectly.
Yes.
We go in the hospital room, we say, you know, people will say, and I want to be healed. Well, I hope you are too, brothers and sisters. But the Lord may do something greater than that. He may heal you perfectly. By His stripes we were healed. That's not talking about us having a bad day. That's talking about us instantly waking up in the presence of God, completely and wonderfully joy that no man. That's what the healing is talking about. So like I told Brother Claude in Richmond one time in that big metropolis, big hospital. Oh, I want to be healed. I said, Brother Claude, the Lord may heal you perfectly.
Yeah.
We want to hang around as long as we can, but there's a perfect healing.
Come.
You know, there's a cure for cancer. There's a cure for that. But aren't we glad?
Yes.
That the Lord is a gracious God and He's not a fairy tale. Oh, listen, children of God.
No, He's not.
I worked in the Goodyear Tire Rubber Company 30 years of my adult life. And I know a whole lot about making tires, truck tires. If I'd never been to the tire plant, I wouldn't know much about it. So it's all right here. Get your King James Bible. Well, you keep saying King James. Let me say it one more time. Keep your King James Bible and read about it because it's right here. It's right here. I bet you that old blind man said, you know what? I can hear some young folks now, Brother Gary. Uh-oh. There he comes again. Hey, brother, let's just call him John. Y'all, just be quiet. Listen, he's going to tell that story one more time. Look, he's a good man. He's a good neighbor. He's just a good man. But I'm telling you, before he leaves you, he's going to tell you that story. So, y'all, just be good. This is maybe 40, 50 years after. I am speculating here. I bet you that blind man said, hey, y'all, come here. You grandkids, all of you, gather around me. I got something to tell you. I'm telling you, I was blind from my mother's womb.
Right.
They said, no, okay. I'm going to tell you anyway. I was blind from my mother's womb. I had no hope in this world. And a man called Jesus, for no reason other than His sovereign will, came by to us poor, undone, unable to react to God, on everything, and touched me. And I'm telling you, children of God, I've been able to see ever since. And I want to tell you, I bet when they take him to the grave, take him to the, oh, Brother John, let's call him John. Here he is on the deathbed. Or he's in his house, and the mothers and fathers, all of who's left, go in to see him. I bet you, from the time that he leaves this earth, he said, oh Lord, thank you for opening my eyes. That's the Jesus. That's not a fairy tale. I bet he told it until the, I bet you the Hebrew children said, listen, we were thrown into that fire, but the Jesus walked with us in that fire. And I'm telling you, if you believe anything, believe me, children of God, I'm telling you that the Lord was there with us, and the smoke and the fire didn't even singe us. I bet they told it until the day that they died. Well, you know what, children of God? I've got something to tell you. The Lord touched this little bald-headed man right here when I was about 9 years old and just tore me all to pieces. I didn't know what in the world to do. Listen, children of God, and I'm just like that blind man. I'm just like Peter. I was in prison, and oh no, I didn't say, you know what, I think I'll quit having a good time, I think I'll quit doing this, I think I'm going to serve the Lord. No, I was just like that blind man, sitting there undone, not able to come to God. But the Lord stopped and passed by and touched me.
Yeah.
I bet you that blind man, I'll bet you he told, listen, there he comes again. Oh, there he is again. Zacchaeus, all right, Zacchaeus, we've heard this story. We've heard this story. I bet they told it. Tell me the story of Jesus. Jude says we should earnestly, yet we should diligently contend for this faith. Because if the Lord has, if you believe this, if you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's because it may have been preached to you. Listen, but if you believe it, it's because the Lord has revealed it to your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. And Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And once He reveals that to us imperfect beings, when we get down, we need to get back up. When we're turning the wrong way, we need to turn around and go the other way. When we put our hand to the plow, we need to not to look back. What are we doing this day? Right now, we're all in church. We're praising the Lord, I hope. So let's take from this moment on, Lord, help us. Help our unbelief.
Yes.
So we can tell the story like no doubt Peter would tell.
Amen.
Peter had a church.
Praying.
People that God had called out.
Yeah.
Done my heart so good when I see people that I haven't seen since last year come in early. Gravy, biscuits, pancakes. Thrills me. That's just more than coming to church. That's earnestly contending.
Yeah.
That's treating it like something special. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our all in all. Listen, we don't understand Him. We don't, Bob, but when we see Him, I'm going to take a story back. A lot of you won't hear yesterday. Gary, I've got to tell it again because it's the Lord's truth. Jesus showed up yesterday after the meeting. We had a wonderful time. Everything was good. And I don't want to get off track here, but it just gave me instant relief. Me and Gary were standing on the sidewalk out there. Some of you already heard it, so just give me a break here. But I want you young ones to listen how the Lord shows up. And when He shows up, sometimes if you try to manufacture Him to show up or make Him show up, sometimes the Lord just don't show you His face. And we're standing out there, and a young man rode up on his bicycle, had a bag of video games, looking for food. Me and Brother Gary was just standing on the street talking, and this young man asked us, do we know where he could get a food bank? His money won't come until the first of the week, and he had a 9-year-old daughter. We're thinking, you know, like we all do, what's this man doing? And Brother Gary, your pastor questioned him, and yes, so where do you live? And you know, we got to make sure this is genuine. And the man says, I live over here, so and so. And your good pastor said, you know what? We'll go get you some food. What do you like? He said, I like peanut butter and I like bologna. I like bread. And okay, and tell us your address. And he rode off, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord, it gave me instant relief. And it just lifted me up. So your pastor goes to the food line. I walk behind him. He don't get one loaf of bread. I know I'm talking about you, Gary, and I'm repeating. But I ain't talking to you right now. I'm talking about you. He don't get one loaf of bread. He gets two loaves of bread. He don't get one pack of cheese. He gets two packs of cheese. He don't get one thing of southern bologna that we love in Danville. He gets two. Doritos. Mayonnaise. Got to have some mayonnaise. Y'all southern Virginia. Oh, y'all northern Virginia. You don't like mayonnaise. We saw Jesus. I felt it. Made my day. So we put it in navigation. We ride over here. There he stands. Tricycles in the yard. This man was genuine. This man needed help. And we could help. Well, he could help. So Jesus showed His face there. We don't know the situation. If He tasted it and took it and wasted it, that's not for us to say. And we're not to just be like lambs under somebody's. No, we're to be wise as serpents. But we never know when the Lord shows up. And when the Lord shows His face, you better be very careful how we look for Him and how we treat Him. Because when Jesus comes on the scene, and the young boy and Gary, he asked about the church and his 9-year-old daughter. He's not here today, is he? I ain't talking about you, hoping I don't see you. But we're hoping one day. Well, this is what the church is about. The church is a refuge. Listen, children of God. If you're not in prison, you don't need. Listen, you're not going to go. I bet you nobody's going to the doctor's office Monday morning and put up with that crowd unless you're sick.
Yeah.
I think I just go to the doctor's office. No, you're going when you're sick.
Yes.
That's what the church is all about. The church is precious. The church is not a floor mat. The church is to be respected.
Amen.
The church has bylaws and laws. We're not just coming here. I can do what I want. No, no, that's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, when the Lord shows His face, we should honor and cling and earnestly contend for the faith. It's a whole lot of faith.
Amen.
Faith. But the Lord showed His face. And the young man thanked us. And we rode off. Instant relief for this. I slept good. I'm thinking, Lord, if I don't preach today, I'm just happy. That's the way the Lord's people is. Peter is so very fortunate. That's the word that I want to use. That the Lord brought him into a church. Children of God, I'll give you this warning. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We know that's talking about Jesus.
Yes.
We know his infinite love and suffering was not offered to us. It was for the purpose of saving his innumerable people from this earth to heaven and immortal glory. But we also know we have mothers and fathers that would give their life for their children. They will fight for that household. They will make milk gravy and biscuits over and over, and we thought that was a staple food and loved it. They will fight for that household. Listen, you better not fool with none of them Hancock kids. My mama would come to this bus stop. Listen, old teacher, listen, if he needs punishing and things have changed, listen, what I'm showing you is, if the Lord has brought you into the church, earnestly contend for it. Don't just, Brother Gary said something that I didn't like. Well, no, fight for it. Earnestly hold on to it, because it's a wonderful thing to have a group of people to walk with in this earth. We may need each other. Oh, where would I be these last 40 years without the Lord's church? Listen, children of God. And we just get so easily things beset us. But all Peter was in a wonderful state, that while he was in his prison, the church was praying for him. You know, we're told about Brother Stanley Cato. It touched his heart when the few members there, this old oxen, when he rode by the church, they thought enough of his ministry to make him a ram. Listen, children of God, this is something that's real. It's the greatest thing that a mortal man can have when the Lord shows it to him.
Amen.
And when the Lord shows it to your young heart or old heart,
yes,
contend for it earnestly. Behave yourself. Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you know, all these conditions, husband of one wife, not giving to wine, all this kind of stuff. Then he goes on and says a wonderful thing, Brother Gary. Young preacher Timothy, you need to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the ground, the pillar of the truth. We ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, because it's worth contending. Here Peter is in prison.
Yeah.
I've never been in prison.
Amen.
I think about our soldiers. I told Brother Jimmy yesterday, and I do call people's names. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I prayed for him. How are you going to a desert away from a loving family? All heat and bottled up, fearing for you. How do you do this? Because the God of heaven says, listen, you're going to walk with me. And I'm going to be with you. It doesn't mean, oh, it's just good over here. Well, my daddy laid in France wounded. My mama didn't know if he was ever coming home. He did, and lived a good life. But I can't imagine that. But children of God, the Apostle Paul had a church. I mean, the Apostle Peter, it was a group of people while he was in prison for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord's people was praying for him.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Listen, I want you to pray for me when I go home. I'm going to be praying for you. Sometimes, and your pastor can relate to this. I wake up in the middle of the night, the good people at Old Mill Church, which was always also constituted in 1770, I think about your faces. I laid on the porch as I was thinking about this meeting. I tried to remember all the faces that I could and said, Lord, I don't know the troubles they're going in, but I know the people in the real world. I don't know the troubles they're facing, but I know our 40-year marriage and our raising our family has had troubles, trials, and tribulations. But Lord, bless them. But Lord, more than that, Lord, show us your face.
Yes.
Show us just give us a reason to push on. Show us that even though we may be not like this world and have this world's goods, but help us to appreciate what we do have. Help us to appreciate, if we only have a few members, the dedicated few few faithful members that we do have. Lord, help us when we sit down at the table at night, if we only have a sandwich and water, say, thank you, Lord. It's so many people. I heard Brother Terry in America, Virginia. He was in the deserts over there in Iraq, and he's some Bedouin. I believe I got the name right. Children, their whole duty was, children of God, was to stand at the fence and beg for water. These little children, they didn't get up in the mornings and go to school. They didn't get up in the morning and go play their video game. The mama didn't say, you want eggs, pancakes, or you want nothing. These children beg for water to eat. So what I'm telling you, children of God, that we should earnestly contend for this precious jewel that the Lord has given us, because it's a precious place. And Peter was in chain between two soldiers, had bars on, had shackles on, but the church, change of direction here, but the church was praying for him. Yeah. Lord, help him. Lord, protect Peter. Lord, bring him back to us. Lord, we know he's not perfect like we all are, but Lord, help him and keep him safe. And when Herod brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Listen, you young ones, this is not a good scene. He's in jail. He's behind iron bars. He's chained up. And not only that, he's between two soldiers. Don't you let this man go. He's a lunatic. If he gets loose and goes to telling this thing about Jesus, he'll turn the world upside down. And that's what the early apostles did.
Yes.
But it wasn't a good time for Peter.
No.
Then a miraculous thing happens. Jesus shows up. The Lord, the angel of the Lord. Well, was that Jesus or not? It don't matter. Jesus shows up. And you know what happened when Jesus shows up? Do you know what happened when the angel from God, that in the book of Revelation says that's an untold number, that their whole life, their whole existence is following him and doing his will? Now, don't you see that when the angel came in the olden days, he came for a purpose. He didn't ask any questions. He told Lot, you get up and you get your family and you get out of here. Listen, children of God, this angel came for one reason. He didn't ask Peter, listen, Peter, had you slept good last night? Are you ready to go? Do you want me to help you open the door? This angel came, and when the angel of the Lord came to that prison, his life was completely changed. The bars, the chains, he didn't say, let me help you. I'll sneak out here. The angel didn't say, listen, I want you to get this picture. The angel didn't say, Peter, be real quiet. I'm going to get the key, and I'm going to get you out of here. No. When the Lord shows up, this world just dissolves.
Amen.
When the Lord shows up, the marriages we still have trouble. That's all right. If you got an idea, look, honey, I've told my, sometimes my wife provokes me. It ain't my fault. It's and sometimes she does.
Yeah.
I'm telling a story. You know, I'm Hancock through and through. But from time to time, we look at each other in the face and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's push on together. That's a wonderful thing. You don't have to figure it all out. Peter didn't say, how are we going to get out of here? When the Lord shows up, it's all right.
Amen.
So we can look at each other in the face. Just like the baptism of water, that if you're baptized in the Shenandoah Valley, when the death, burial, and resurrection, it's a picture of Christ. The water that buried you can no more be found. If you was a billionaire and said, I want that water to keep that, you know, that covered me, Gary, I want to keep it. You couldn't find it. Your sins are the same way. When the Lord cleansed you and purged you from your sins, children of God, you can no more, it can no more be brought remembrance of a child of God. So we see, Brother Gary, I know I've run way over time.
You keep going.
So we see that Peter,
you got to get the little sister. You got to tell us.
That's another little insignificant Sister Rhoda, ain't it? So we see the scene here, children of God, that Peter in prison and bound between two soldiers, bars, chains, just can't get out. But the scene here, children of God, is not that the angel needed Peter's help.
No.
It says that the chains just fell off.
Yes.
But you know what? Peter's like, we all are. We need some direction. So the angel said, get up, bind thyself. Follow me, Peter. Follow me. The Lord could have just miraculously, like he did that ship, He could have miraculously put the ship on the shore. But He's showing us that as we go through the prisons of our life, when men oppress us, when our minds oppress us, when we oppress each other, when the Lord shows up, everything it may not be all right, but the Lord will give you a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
We have a generation now that worse than my generation, and we was bad enough, that we just don't want to get up and do nothing. I'd like to think of the old grandpas in the mountains of Virginia and the plains of Virginia, whatever you want to call it where I live, that died in the field. What's grandpa doing? He's hoeing the corn again. He had a purpose. We've got a purpose, children of God, to serve each other. Serve the Lord and serve each other. And it's not just a thing, benevolent thing to do. It's a life. And we should earnestly contend for it. Read about it. When the angel showed up, here's the scene. They walk out of jail and the angel didn't say, "All right, Peter, hold up. Let me open this door." And all the gates just opened up by themselves.
Yeah.
And here Peter's out of prison. That don't seem believable. Yeah, you're right.
No, it doesn't.
I still don't know how the nuclear weapon works. Do you, Jimmy? Did you ever fear that? How could it be real if you can't see it? Is it real? Is the most feared thing of nuclear, biological? What's that? It sure is real, ain't it? I'm telling you, children of God, this is real. And if the Lord touches your heart, you might not understand it all. Lord knows I don't. But it's real to you. Peter goes on that, knocks on the door.
Yeah.
He's out of prison. Disciples all huddled around praying. Gary, keep me close here because I didn't close my Bible. Here comes a little insignificant maiden named Rhoda. It's Peter. It's Peter. It's not Peter. Peter's in prison. No, it's Peter. This little insignificant maid. This little damsel, I believe she's called.
Yeah.
It's Peter. We better be careful how we push some of these little ones to the side.
Amen.
It's Peter.
She knew his voice.
It's Peter. They said, "That's just his spirit." Then they came. It was Peter. It was a miracle of God. The Lord knows in my heart I love you. And if I've said anything hard, I didn't mean to you. I didn't mean to. If I said anything that's not scriptural, I hope the Lord will show me or show Gary. But I'm telling you that the scene here of Peter in prison is a wonderful scene that the Lord didn't have to show us.
Amen.
And He didn't write it preserved for us in His King James just to make His book thick.
Nope.
It can relate to our own hearts, our own minds, that whatever trials and troubles that we're going in, the Lord will be with us, and we ought to be obedient to Him and ask Him to help us. And Lord Jesus Christ has promised to have mercy. Mercy is something that is withheld from us that we deserve. The judge says, "You're guilty, but you know what? I'm going to pardon you."
Yeah.
That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. I love you. I thank the Lord for you. If I don't get to see you for another year, I hope you prosper. You young folks, I hope you grow strong. You pillars of this church, I hope you keep standing under pressure. You young sisters and old sisters, keep serving, keep praying, keep serving one another, and push on. Because this faith, the faith that's revealed to us, should be earnestly contend for. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
Amen. 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 Number 154. I think we know that. My brother.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, don't you dare. Oh, I've got the Spirit of the Lord. Don't need it. I'll read one verse. Just one. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Things we've heard this morning, we heard yesterday, or last night, or Friday night, been hearing for many, many years these wonderful things, salvation by grace, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what the Lord has done. Chapter 2 and verse 1, Hebrews says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The things that we have heard that have been preached from God's Word, we're to give the more earnest heed. It says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time. When you're sitting here on a Sunday morning and you're hearing these wonderful truths being expounded, it's hard to let them slip when the Lord is giving them to you in a powerful way. You get out in the world and you get hit by the troubles and the problems, oftentimes it seems so easy for us to let them slip, but it's then we need them more than any, really. Well, we need them all the time. But we truly need them in this old troubled world, lest at any time we should let them slip. This tells me God's little children, we can let them slip. We're to keep earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, but that is also what we put on as part of our apparel, as part of the garment. Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's what we wear in this world. What we believe, what we hold to on Sunday, is what we should wear and live throughout the rest and not let it slip. Keep these things dear and precious to us. Thank the Lord for the preaching of the gospel and all we've heard today. And just so thankful. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. We publish the open door of the church. We'll be with this church. Any sister church is represented. If there be one or more, have a desire to unite, one or more have a follow the Lord in baptism, whatever the case may be, as we sing this hymn, if you let your feelings be made known that the Lord would lead you and direct you. Number 154.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of fear.
Bye. Don't you say that? No, sure. No things we look at.